by breathing out and allowing oneself to feel the hungry, empty space within, the empty space that craves and that then is able to take in fully, able to take breath in fully. We say in Shabbat morning, Nishmat Kol Chai, the soul of every human being gives thanks and blesses God. And the Midrash comments very beautifully, B'chol Nishima U'Nishima, Nishmat, not the soul, but with every breath that a person takes. There is that crisis modality of recognizing that life is not a continuous, reliable affair, but it's an affair of emptying and filling, emptying and filling. And with that, one praises God. One praises God out of a crisis mode, in a sense, rather than in a thoughtless mode of assuming that things are stable. With this, I'd like to come back to Sarah and to looking towards Sarah as our way of reenacting beginnings. The verse in Divrei HaYamim says, Chilu milfanav kol ha'aretz, Aftikon tevel baltimot. Tremble before him, all the whole earth, and so the world shall be set firmly and stably and will not slip. That is, there's a need somewhere for a kind of trembling, for a sense of instability, in order to achieve any kind of real stability. What happens with Sarah? We look towards Sarah. We look towards Sarah as Sarah tichollelchem, that verse from Yeshayahu, Sarah who will give birth to you. How does Sarah give birth to us? Not in the biological sense. She gave birth to us. Tichollelchem is the future. She will give birth to you. That is, there's a potential within Sarah of giving birth to the future of humanity. How? What's the first moment? What is it that Sarah represents? She is a makevet. She's a makevet bor. She is not simply a passive birth cavity out of which, biologically, the young emerge. There is something militant about her. There is something ruthlessly honest that reacts to the fullness and the tragedy of the moment. And she dies of it. She's a victim of that moment, but in a sense, she creates that moment. She will not allow herself to be comforted. She can't hang on long enough for possible reconciliations. And instead, she hollows out a space through this death-birth, and it's a space from which human beings in the future can begin, the space that human beings can begin to fill. She creates a space in which value and birth can, in the future, happen. She creates, in a sense, her own birth cavity. Well, the shofar then represents a kind of enigmatic message. It's not purely a message of triumph, a triumphal message, crown the king. Crown the king, and on the other hand, it's the yalala. It's the cry of Sarah in that moment of emptiness, in that moment of lostness. And there has to be a way somewhere of bridging those two realities. Crowning the king, becoming meaningful precisely in this existentially difficult and tormented condition. And what I'd like to finish with is a story that Rabbi Nachman tells, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. It's one of his seven beggars stories. You may be familiar with the sequence of stories. The situation is like this. It's a story within a story. There is a young couple that's getting married. So we have a joyous framework for the story. A young couple is getting married, and seven beggars come one after the other to give them blessings and presents for the marriage. The only problem is that one is blind and one is deaf and one is lame, and each one tells a story as his wedding gift and ends the story by saying, and I wish you, young couple, that you should be like me. That's Rabbi Nachman's way of telling the story. One of these beggars, the fourth beggar, is described as having a twisted neck, a kum hatzavar. It's another disability, it's another deformation. He has a twisted neck. And he then tells his story. And this is the story of the beggar with a twisted neck. He tells a story about, first he starts off with his being in competition with other chachamim, other clever people who know how to do things with their voices, to imitate with their voices, to imitate animals. And he finally challenges his rivals, and he says, if you are so chachamim, if you are really so clever, then can you do anything to heal this situation? In other words, to be a chacham, it's not sufficient to know how to do clever things with your voice. It's to do, know how to do things with your voice that will bring healing and transformation to the world. Can you do something about this situation, for instance? And he tells a story about two countries, far from each other, many miles far from each other. And at night in these countries, there is a wailing and a howling and a crying that's set up. A stone would melt, he says. If there were a stone there, it would melt to hear the yilalot. And he uses this word, the yilalot in these two countries. You couldn't survive if you got too close. Other chachamim, the other wise people, are curious about the situation. They ask to be taken to one of these countries to experience this. And they go to the country, and at night, sure enough, there is a hue and cry set up. Everyone is wailing, so it's impossible to sleep. And these visiting chachamim, who had thought they could do something about it, instead are carried away in this contagious wailing. And everyone, and yet they simply join in the wailing. They're carried away. They can't do anything about it. Finally, they ask our man with the twisted neck, our beggar with the twisted neck, they ask him, well, do you understand what all this is about? And he says, yes, of course I understand. He's very sure of himself. And he says, what's the story really about? Well, there are two birds. And it turns out that it's all about a romance between two birds. There's a male bird and a female bird, and they're separated from each other. They're lost to each other. That's the word that's used. And they're separated far from each other. And at night, each bird wails for the other. And each bird builds its nest. One builds it close to one kingdom, and the other builds it close to the other kingdom. So that the kingdoms actually don't hear. I'm sorry, the other bird, the other kingdom doesn't hear, but the one that's close hears the sound of the bird wailing for its mate at night. And it's a contagious wailing. It's a wailing that you can't resist. And the whole wailing in the country is because of that one bird. In this situation, what is to be done? Well, you have a situation that apparently is incurable. And our beggar with the twisted neck says, but I can cure it. How? I position myself near one of the birds, and as bird starts up its wailing at night, I have the ability lechaven et hakol, to tune my voice in a certain direction so as to throw it, lehashlich et hakol, he's a ventriloquist, so that no one nearby can see me or hear me. Look at me, you wouldn't think I'm actually doing anything. And you can't hear the voices coming from me. But I'm imitating the sound of the bird, and I'm throwing it so that it reaches the other bird, far away in the other kingdom. And vice versa. And then I'll go to the other bird. And in that way, I set up a kind of conversation, that each bird can begin to hear not only the fact of I am lost, but that the other one is lost. In other words, I am lost, and the other one has lost me. I begin to feel the other one crying for me. And in that way, a certain healing can be achieved. What is Rabbi Nachman speaking about here? I think on the one hand, he's simply saying that the cosmos, the world, is a world of displacement, it's a world of rupture, it's a world of galut. We cry on specific occasions, but in fact, somewhere God is crying for us. That there's a separation here between human beings and God, and it's an essential separation. It's in the nature of this world that there is that crack, that reassuring sense of the echo has gone. And in this world, we cannot hear God crying for us. All we can hear is our own cries, and these are cries of despair. If all we can hear is our own cries, then they lead to nothing. They lead to no healing. What is necessary is to have a chacham, to have someone. Let's say someone who knows how to blow shofar, who knows how to blow the shofar, which imitates and represents that cry, which means that this person is not carried away himself in the world of wailing. He doesn't allow himself to be swept away, but instead he retains a sufficient presence and sufficient imagination to hold it firmly in his mind that there has been a loss here. That is, this is not simply a wordless trauma, where all one can do is howl and wail. But that actually there has been a loss and there is a possibility of a reunion, and someone out there is mourning for us, is wailing for us too. Keeping that in mind, the artist, if you will, doesn't howl, he blows shofar. He blows shofar, and he imitates the howl in such a way as to evoke the possibility of an answering cry of the shofar. And I think this is, in fact, in terms of experience, that's one of the things one senses when one listens to the shofar. That one has heard the shofar, and all over the city, all over Yerushalayim, there are answering sounds of the shofar, which represent not simply other places within Yerushalayim, but represent an otherness. There is a sense of an echoing shofar, which at the moment is purely an imagination. This is not in reality. And a sense, therefore, of what it means to be lost. That already is a very different situation. To recognize what it means to be lost is to recognize the possibility of being found, and to recognize the possibility of a dialogue. That kind of imaginative act is available only to someone who has a twisted neck. And that's Rabbi Nachman's rather, gruesome and humorous wisdom at speaking. To have a twisted neck, it's highly counterindicated. Right? It's something that no one would want. I speak from experience, very recent experience, actually. Who has a twisted neck? Someone whose body is altogether out of sync. There's a sense there of the body not in sorts. Many quotations I could run through about the importance of a straight and beautiful neck and the negativity of a twisted neck. What is the one thing a twisted neck is good for? It's good for expressing and representing the dislocation of the world. The way in which the world is not a straight and harmonious place. It's by way of representing that and therefore paradoxically opening up a sense of being able to think about it, of being able to think about it and imagine it as something that has a larger context, that is not simply an experience, a wordless experience, but something that has a larger context and perhaps possibilities of different kinds of conclusion. And in terms of that, the man with the twisted neck says, well, my neck is very chavé. My neck is actually very straight. In this world, my neck is just right. And I wish you, young couple, that you should have one just like me. That is, that you should have the capacity, in some sense, to rise above what it means to be within the nameless traumas, the wordless traumas, and to be able to throw the sounds, to be able to direct the sounds and throw the sounds, so that at least in imagination there can be a sense of an answering cry. In terms of the happiness of those who know true us, to know the possibility of the full way of living this kind, the kind of brokenness that we've been speaking about. Just want to finish by pointing out, simply in technical legal terms, that the shofar that we blow on Rosh Hashanah, two facts about it. One is that the shofar must be crooked, right? It must be twisted. It can't be straight. If you have a straight shofar, it's pasul, not pashut. It can't be simple. It can't be straight. It has to have these. And the other is that it should be mechuvan lemala, lechaven. That it has to be directed upwards. That is, we blow the shofar and we imitate, and we never allow ourselves to forget the truth of the death of Sarah. That's the truth. That's the grit around which the pearl will be formed. Without that grit, nothing can be formed. But we aim it upwards. That is, there's a sense of wanting to move beyond that basic moment and to take that moment and take it to a place in which there can be a possibility of a dialogue, of an imagining, of a response, and the possibility of hope. I wish you a happy year.
I'm just going to be calling on Rebecca Nadler to thank our speaker in just a moment. Just want to remind you that if you haven't received a brochure for all our programs throughout the year, there are extras on the table just outside. Also want to encourage people to think about buying a pass for all of Tour in Motion for the year, a TIM pass. It's $180 for the first pass and half price for the second pass, and that gets into everything we do for free as well as a discount on our CDs. If people are interested in purchasing a CD of tonight's lecture, you can sign up in the table outside directly afterwards. I'm going to call on Rebecca Nadler to thank our speaker.
Well, not an easy task on my part. We've talked tonight about so many emotions. I'm shorter than everyone here. And it's my job to put into words praise and thanks on the part of everyone here. I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear your share tonight. As Canadians and Torontonians, we are in this process of trying to savor the last moments of summer, or what passes for summer in Toronto. At the same time, as Jews, we know that Elul is upon us, and that is and the Yamim Noraim are quickly approaching. And I can't think of a more fitting way to begin the process of preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur than to spend the night this evening learning with you. And so on behalf of everyone here, and on behalf of our family and friends with whom we will share the Torah and learning and ideas that you've imparted this evening, I want to express our thanks and thank you for coming to Toronto and learning with us. Just one more note. I would like to remind everybody that I am here on behalf of Mikorot. There is a pamphlet, which I believe many of you have received, of the courses that we are offering this year. I ask you to look at them, and I hope you will join us for one or more of the courses. I would also like to let you know that on October 24th, we will be having a day of learning. The topic for the day is spiritual activism. Among our speakers will be Rabbi Avi Weiss of the Hebrew Institute of Riverdale, and I hope you will consider joining us on that day. Thank you and good evening.